Volunteers are racing to comb through the wreckage of Paradise, California today, looking for human remains before rain that's forecast for the middle of the week. That would be welcome news for firefighters, but of course it would make the recovery effort much more difficult. So far, around 80 people have been confirmed dead in the campfire, but nearly 1,000 people are still missing. Michelle Wiley just returned from Paradise. She's back at KQED in San Francisco. Michelle, we know that California counties each are now required to have these rescue teams, all of whom have converged on Paradise. Some are just, you know, retiree volunteers. What was it like to be there?
So I think we can say that this is one of the largest search and rescue operations in California history. And part of that is because the area that burned is a rural area. So there's a lot of searching that has to be done out in the woods, out in more remote locations. And it was a really fast moving fire. So it took hold really quickly and spread really quickly.
Yeah. Well, over the weekend, Butte County Sheriff Corey Honia said, "We may never know the exact death toll from this fire." But tell us more about this missing list. It was over 1,000, now just under, 1,000. Are people calling in to say they're not missing?
Yeah, so as you can imagine, when this happened, because of the rapid spread, people really scattered. You know, they got out of town as soon as they possibly could. They were running up the freeway trying to escape. And I think that what happened there, why there's been a decrease in the missing list, is because now that people are getting back connected with the county, now that they're in a safer location or at least a more secure location, they're able to confirm, I am actually okay, I'm fine, and my loved ones are fine.
What was that like to be in Paradise?
I've really never seen anything like it. You know, you can kind of conceptualize over what a fast-moving fire might look like, but these are buildings that are completely leveled to the ground. You know, it's twisted metal. There's power lines all over the ground. And one thing that was really striking to me is how quiet it was. Mm-hmm. You know, all the animals fled when the fire started spreading. So there's no bird sounds. There's sounds of people working, trying to recover the area, but just the sound of life is really gone.
Yeah. And as we said, some of these are retired volunteers. It's got to be, I don't want to be too grim, but again, we just are trying to hammer home what this is like. And we were told to don't overlook something that looks like a pot because it might be a skull. I mean, this is heartbreaking work.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to even conceive of it, really. Mm-hmm. When I was up in Paradise, when we were there, you could, even touching the ground 8 days after the fire had started, it was still hot. And I think that gives you an impression of like what this could mean. And so many people, because it spread so quickly, were unable to escape. You know, we heard dispatch tape of a woman who was pregnant, who needed a C-section, and people were trying to rush her out, and we don't know what happened.
Look, you also went to nearby Chico, to that Walmart parking lot where people are living in tents. There's a tent city that's grown up there. Tons of volunteers there just bringing things like racks of clothing. But a lot of people there came down with the same norovirus that's hit some of the shelters. Here's Christina Hickson.
I don't know how I got sick. You know, I guess this norovirus is going around, stomach flu. I've been sick all night, very sick. And shelters are condensed and not everybody's hygienically clean, you know. Right. So we're trying to just kind of get a place where we feel safe and secure. And
Michelle, tell us more about that. I mean, you have a large group of people there.
Yeah, and really the most tragic part is that Christina Hickson was staying in the Walmart parking lot to avoid getting norovirus. She was trying to avoid getting sick. That's why she didn't want to go to a shelter and ended up getting sick anyway.
Yeah.
And part of it is that the condition there, you know, Chico is in Northern California. It's really cold at night. It's like in the 30s, like below freezing. Yeah. So people staying out in shelters are exposed to those elements. And I mean, some of them are getting sick.
Yeah. And who else did you just share another person you might have met?
Sure. Yeah, I spoke to one family who had a kid. And as you said, the air quality here is really damaging, especially for children and the elderly. And they were telling me they're having just the hardest time getting their little baby, 1 or 2 years old, to keep the face mask on, even though she's most at danger. You know, how do you explain to a little kid you got to keep this on? It's so important.
Look, the fire's still burning. Where and how big is it?
So the fires burned 151,000 acres. Right now, it's 66% contained. And I should explain, containment means that they've set up a line around the fire. It's still burning, but a containment line is what keeps it in. So it's 66% contained at this point, and over 11,000 residences have been destroyed.
Yeah. Look, Michelle Wiley, you're back in San Francisco, hundreds of miles away, where people are also wearing masks.
Yes. So the smoke has blown quite far right into the Bay Area. Driving back from Chico, I actually, you know, I took my mask off for a little bit in the car when the air cleared. And as soon as I got in the Bay, I had to put it right back on. The air level is hazardous for children, for the elderly, and really most people have just avoided being outside.
Well, Michelle Wiley of KQED in San Francisco and just back from Paradise, thanks so much for talking to us.
Thanks.